Good evening, everyone. We are glad that you are here with us this evening. If you can go ahead and find your seats. We are blessed with a very full night tonight and really looking forward to the letters to the church that the youth have to share with us. Also a time of worshiping the Lord together, as well as a time to send off those that will be going abroad this summer to proclaim Christ to the nations. But before we do all that tonight, we're excited to have yet another one of Heritage Baptist Church's supported missionaries, Tom and Gila Grafe, with us today. They are returning after 10 years in Romania. And just as way of introduction to some of their ministry, we have a short video that there is going to play. And as you watch the video, I want you to take special note of both the camps and the VBS efforts, because those efforts had genesis with the HBC youth. And we are so excited to see how that continues to produce fruit in Romania. And Tom's going to come up after the video and give us a little bit more introduction.
To the ball game, take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game. Thank you.
I remember a time when I was a boy.
Well, I know that seems like just a bunch of video pieces of ministry. That's because that's what that was. I made videos of different ministry events and then just took pieces and threw it together so that you could have a glimpse of some of the things that we did over the last 2 years. All of that was over the last 2 years. And a lot of it does start with the genesis of the team that came from here. It's been almost 8 or 9 years ago. There's a group that came and went to Brasov with us, and we did a VBS. And it was the first one of its kind anywhere that I knew of that was being done there. And I got translators from our church to go and to watch, and they absolutely loved it. I mean, they just loved everything about it. And they said, why can't we do this? Which is what I'd been telling them for a while they could do. But once they saw it, they got a taste for it. And that has grown to where they involved other churches. In fact, it was funny because I saw another church doing a VBS. And I said, oh, you're doing a vacation Bible school. They said, no, we're doing VBS. And I said, well, do you know what VBS stands for? And they said, no, it's an American term. We just heard everybody's doing VBS now. And it was because of what you started with your youth, and then our church got other churches involved and just kind of spread. And we're really excited about that. But now, when we do it every summer, they have several churches involved, usually between 75, last year was 75 and 80 workers that were involved with VBS from multiple churches that kind of pounced on five villages. We did four villages, VBSs, and then in five villages, we added a medical clinic. And in 3 days, four days, five villages, we saw over 300 patients. And so it's really grown into some things. And we're still thankful for the amount of time that they put in, your church put into our ministry there. I also want to say that Dr. Kroll came over a few years ago and did a Leading the World Missions Church conference. And that has really helped our missions efforts in encouraging Romanians to be missionaries. And you saw on there our trip, one of our trips to Serbia, where we took Romanians as missionaries. And so that's going very, very well. As was announced, we are returning from the field this year, not because of any difficulties or problems on the field. We love it there and miss them. And even while I'm sitting here in the last few moments, I'm getting texts and emails from our dear friends in Romania. And it was a hard decision to make because we love being there. Some things that influenced that were the lack of ability that I had in gaining the language. I studied and studied and studied. I don't want to tell you how much money I put into language lessons. And though it was going okay, and it kind of forced us into a mentoring ministry that worked for a while, it's not the same as being able to communicate at the heart level with them. And the first few years, you would hear somebody say, well, how long have you been in our country? And we'd say, 2 years. And they say, yeah, and it's a hard language to learn. And then, you know, how long have you been in our country? 6 years. Yeah, it's a pretty hard language to learn. How long have you been in our country? 9 years, and you don't know our language yet. And they were forgiving, and it was okay, mostly because they knew us and our heart for them and the ministry. But I just could imagine, you know, how long have you been in our country? Well, 25 years, and you still don't know our language. I just couldn't hear it very well, and so I could actually speak it better than I could understand it, and that kept me from being able to communicate well in the language. That was just one of the things God used to get us to think about it, but we prayed very long and hard, and in that process, God made it very clear that I will be the next pastor at Grace Fellowship Church in Stanford, Kentucky. Really looking forward to going there, and there's some great opportunities for being there. I just want to thank this church for the decade of support, both prayerfully and financially. And I want to share just a couple words with you of encouragement. And it comes from Colossians. And I did a Bible study. The last Bible study I did in Romania was from Colossians. And when I read this, I even talked about Heritage Baptist Church and the influence that they've had because so many of them that are in my Bible study, some of them were translators on that trip that your youth came to. But it says this, it says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all God's people. The reputation of this church to care for God's people, for missionaries, and for the gospel is literally worldwide. There are people all over that have heard of the love that this church has for them. And it goes on to say, the faith and love that spring up from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you, in the same way the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. And I want you to know that the fruit that you have produced in your youth, that they took that to Romania and in other places, that that fruit continues to bear fruit all around the world, and that ought to be an encouragement. So then Paul says this in that context in verse 9. He says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit gives. And as Paul said, you have a great reputation to the church of Colossae. He said, for that reason, when I found out about it, I prayed all the more that you would fill up with that. There's more. And I just want to encourage you to keep it up and to pray for even more and to send more of your youth out and send more missionaries. And you are making an impact around the world. So thank you very much and God bless.
You guys would just stay standing and we're going to worship the Lord tonight. but the fact is the words bring such clarity and dedication and charge us to follow the Lord.
I count on one thing, the same God who never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out.
What else could I do? riches of this world will fade. The treasures of our God remain. Here I empty myself to own this world, nothing, and find everything in you. The riches of this world.
Would go ahead and take a seat. Let me pray for this next portion. God, how can we do anything after singing songs and reading words like that on a screen, but to do anything other than to stop and glory in your name? God, a name above all names, the name of Jesus, every knee, every tongue will bow and confess his lordship. God, it encourages my heart, and I hope the hearts of those in this room, to see a group of teenagers up here glorying in that name. I pray that for this next portion of the service tonight, as teens come up on this stage and speak to the church, that this church will be encouraged that, God, you have done wonderful things that only you could do. That you have changed lives, that you have molded lives, that you have shaped lives through the ministry of Heritage Baptist Church, both here and around the world. And for all of that, we give great thanks. God, would you be with the rest of this night, that all that's said and done and thought here on this stage and in the congregation, would it all be to the glory of your glorious name? We ask this in that name. Amen. A few months ago, Pastor Nathan asked us, the various ministry areas here at the church, children's ministry, youth ministry, adult ministry, global ministry, to take selected Sunday nights and to use those nights in unique ways that would present both the people in our ministry and the work that goes on throughout our ministries. And admittedly, he gave us June 9th, and at first I did not know exactly what a June 9th night would look like as students came on stage and presented the youth ministry or portions of the youth ministry to you, the church. However, after about a week or so of deliberation, it kind of hit me that perhaps this would be a unique time to do something a bit different that's, well, I've not seen it done before. Usually this time of year, early June, we have graduating seniors who, through their hard work, perhaps some kicks in the butt by their parents, got through their academic rigors of high school and are moving on to the next stage of life via college or the workforce or perhaps even the military. And usually during this time of year, we applaud our seniors for graduating, and rightfully so. But what if we did something a bit different tonight? What if, instead of us congratulating the seniors who are moving on, what if some seniors, and I could have chosen a whole lot more than the five that I chose tonight, but what if the seniors actually wrote letters to you, the church? What if instead of congratulating the seniors stood up here and applauded you? What if tonight you, as perhaps a former preschool worker who maybe 18 years ago you changed some of the diapers of these seniors, what if you felt encouraged by the fact that many of our very seniors from this class you grew up helping and molding and shaping? And what if you, a current nursery or preschool or Awana worker, what if you were encouraged tonight to continue to invest? And really, selfishly, I hope that you would. I have a 7-month-old of my own, and I'll be quite honest with you, I would love for my child to grow up around so many of you. What if you, who perhaps you were a former small group leader in youth ministry in the past, and I'll be quite honest and frank that teens can be at times very difficult to deal with and to teach and to work with because you don't always see the growth as quickly as you had hoped to see it. But what if you, the former small group leader who sat down with some of those teens in past years, what if you saw perhaps the fruit of your labor tonight? And the current small group leader to continue on in ministry working with teens, knowing that the seeds that you plant today could produce a bountiful harvest tomorrow. And you say, well, I don't really work with children, I don't really work with teens, so what does this night have for me? Well, what if you, perhaps the DC leader, or maybe just a DC participant, what if I told you that the very teachings that go on during your Sunday morning discipleship communities and the communities that you create outside of these church walls, what if I told you that those teachings and those communities that you have built have indirectly, whether you realized it or not, shaped the very teens who stand on this stage? That DC leaders, when you teach on Sunday morning, you are teaching parents and grandparents who will go home and then teach their children. Many of our teens that you see on stage tonight come from, honestly, just the labors of the church and their parents and the work that the church has put into coming alongside parents and helping in the raising of a child. Heritage, what if I told you that your heartbeat for missions, as we saw with even the Graves tonight as they presented a little bit of a snippet of what they did in Romania, what if I told you that your heartbeat for missions has actually pushed some of our teens across the seas to serve Christ in places where perhaps he's not yet known? My goal tonight is, in these letters, twofold. One, I want you to know that our youth ministry doesn't function without your investment. without your dedication, your time, your energies, your involvement. I'll say this tonight, and I've said it many, many times, that teenage ministry is not merely a function of what I do as a youth pastor or what Kent does as a youth pastor. Rather, teenage ministry is really, well, it's family ministry. It really is that we could not do what we do without the faithful investments of parents and the faithful investments of you into parents and into their children. So that's my first goal, is to encourage you in that way. My second goal is to encourage you if you are not involved. And I presume I'm speaking to the choir on a Sunday night here at Heritage Baptist Church, but if you are not involved, I would encourage you to be involved. Shameless plug, because this, I guess, is a youth ministry night and I can do this. We would love for you to be involved in youth ministry. I am always, Pastor Kent is always looking for godly men and women who love the Lord more than anything and would love to pass that down to the next generation. So we hope tonight that if perhaps you're on the fence about serving with children or with teens or somewhere else in the church, perhaps tonight will be kind of a nudge off the fence and into the work of ministry. So I'm hoping tonight, by all means, that you'll enjoy this. This is a very unique night. I've not seen it yet done before, but I'm hoping you'll be encouraged by it. I have five teens that I chose, and again, I could have picked a whole lot more than five. But for the sake of time, I could only choose five. And what I want to do is I want to introduce each one of them and have them come up individually and read a letter to you, the church, specifically focusing on areas of the ministry that perhaps mean more to them than you realize. Our first letter tonight, if she wants to go ahead and come on up, Chloe, our first letter tonight is written by one of our very own students who has grown up in this church, well, her life. Writing to the children's workers from nursery to preschool and beyond, I would encourage you to welcome Chloe Ingersoll.
As I look back on my childhood, many of my fondest memories were made in children's ministry. The earliest songs I remember singing were either Grace Bible Camp songs or Rejoice Choir songs. The earliest games and activities I remember doing were things like relay races at Awana, bouncy houses at Fun for All, and mini bikes at Grace Bible Camp. The earliest lessons I remember and the earliest friendships I made date back to children's ministry. I feel truly blessed to be able to see how the foundations of my knowledge in Christ and His Word were laid down way back in children's ministry. I think one of the most influential concepts I was able to grasp from my time in children's ministry is the joy that comes from following Christ. I learned at an early age that being a Christian isn't boring like many others believe when growing up they were just taught to go to church and learn their verses. Through ministries like Grace Bible Camp, Awana, and Rejoice Children's Choir, I was shown how Jesus brings us joy. This was most evident through the example of Pastor Tony and Miss Sue, stage managers for the musicals, counselors at Grace Bible Camp, teachers and student helpers on Sunday mornings, and all of the behind-the-scenes individuals who serve the Lord faithfully with such a joyful heart. Children's ministry is definitely not a walk in the park. These workers' love for the Lord is so evident through their constant love for the children in this ministry. They sacrifice their own comforts, time, and sometimes even their own sanity to minister to kids with a smile on their face, and it truly makes a difference. Last summer, on the Hungry Youth short-term missions trip, we were challenged with ministering to a culture totally new to us. This was honestly intimidating at first, but I remember having a conversation and being reminded that God alone saves, and that we were simply His ambassadors to those Hungarian campers. I was told that the best thing to do when working with the kids was to set aside our language, social, and cultural barriers and simply show them the joy that comes from being in Christ. There is abounding joy that comes from following the Lord, and when others see it in you, it is contagious and attractive. This mindset is exactly what I remember seeing, even at a young age, in all the servants that poured into my life during my time in children's ministry. This ministry here at HBC is truly something special. It has been so influential to me, and I still hold fast to so many of the lessons, songs, and memories that I made in my time there. Because my foundation and the truths of God's word were built at such a young age, and were continually built upon through my time in youth group, I have confidence in the future I have ahead of me beyond high school. Yes, there will be highs and lows down the road, but I know my foundation is set, and I truly feel that after my time in children's ministry and youth group, I have been equipped and raised to go.
Our next letter tonight comes from a young man, Mason Edmiston, who for the last few years has been a part of our youth ministry, and teen ministry, teenage years are not the easiest for varieties of reasons. But for Mason, I suspect that perhaps you'll hear it in his letter, it has been a unique challenge for him, especially these last couple of years. And I asked Mason to speak, to write a letter to the youth ministry, to his leaders, to those who have poured into him these last couple of years. So without further ado, please welcome Mason Edmiston.
So I did not grow up in this church, but I grew up in church. So I was saved at an early age. But a couple years ago, my family and I moved here, and we started going church shopping. So every week we would try a new church. When we tried Heritage, I was just blown away by how welcoming everyone was at the youth group. And the next Sunday, we went to another church. The Sunday after that, we came back to Heritage, and I was surprised that everybody that I met knew my name. So that was pretty impressive. They asked me, where were you last week? And that made a huge impression on me, and that's why I chose to stay here. And I really love the youth group here. So it's been a huge blessing on my life. Being the new person can be awkward, but the leaders and students were very eager to meet me. It was easy to fit in because there was an environment of openness that I observed that is a cause of great leadership. The friends I've made in my small groups, I can say, are my best friends. They're friends I'm able to share prayers and struggles with and joys with. Over these couple of years, I've been through a lot of medical problems, pain, and they've been with me in prayer, supporting me through it all. When I was gone, I would get texts from my small group leader, Mr. Stone, asking me to, telling me that he's praying for me and that everybody's praying for me, and to give a little summary of what's going on in my medical trials and things like that. And getting those texts every week just really meant a lot to me. The power of prayer is incredible, and again, the leadership is great, and that is why we are so blessed here. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. This youth group has made me sharper than when I came in. I think we're all sharper. It's because we're surrounded by spiritual sharpeners. I recently read The Pilgrim's Progress, and I couldn't help but notice how often Christian benefited from having company. When he was alone, he would often stumble on the path, and he would often run into situations where he would fall into sin. But when he was alongside a fellow Christian, they were both stronger because of it. I'm stronger because of this church. My small group experience helped me get deeper into the Word. It strengthened my relationship with God and with others. We're all prepared to face the spiritual battles we will face in the years to come. Let us not forget what has been taught to us. We will stand firm on solid rock.
The third letter that we have tonight presenting is a former missionary kid, grew up overseas, and from that experience, I guess, kind of brought her here to Heritage and her family here to Heritage. And for the last several years, Deborah Chagas and her family have been a part of the Heritage family. And through her experiences overseas and her time here, Deborah Chagas is actually this fall headed out to Word of Life Hungary to be a part of the Bible Institute there to learn and to minister there. So I'm hoping here that you get to hear her heart for missions and what you as a church have meant to her in her pursuit of global mission. So if you would, Deborah Chagas.
So my family moved here to Lynchburg in August of 2016 after 11 years of missions in Senegal and West Africa, although we are originally from Brazil. When we first got here, like Mason, we were church shopping, I guess, and we were going around a lot of churches, and Heritage was actually one of the first ones that we came to, and we were immediately drawn to it, mostly because of the flags outside and that all the countries have, all the rooms have country names, which we thought was pretty cool being from an international background at all. But as a missionary kid, just coming into a church that was so visibly loving and passionate for the nations was just heartwarming to me, and it made me feel welcome. I also remember being welcomed by Pastor Kent in the youth room for the first time that we came, and he told me that the senior pastor here was also a missionary kid, and at that point I just knew it was meant to be. Once we started attending more regularly, I started to hear about the mission trips. I was so impressed by how, even in the youth group, there was such a weight placed on missions. The youth was getting ready to go to Tanzania that year, and although I didn't get to go because I had just gotten here, I loved seeing how seriously everyone took it, both the students and the leaders. Missions is a constant conversation topic in HBC's youth group, which isn't something that's very common in today's youth. But it really shows that this church takes Jesus' command to go and make disciples seriously. I finally got to go on one of the youth trips last summer to Hungary. It's still amazing to me how it all came together for me to even apply for this trip, because it was truly a work of God. We went to summer camp down in Word of Life, Florida, which is another cool thing that HBC Youth does, and they were telling us about the Bible Institute. I remember looking through the booklet that they gave us, and I saw Hungary on there as one of the campuses, and honestly, I didn't really know what Hungary even was, but I just remember thinking, if I'm going to any of them, it will be this one. I don't know why I thought that, but when Pastor Kent announced that the mission trip this year would be to Hungary, I just knew I had to go. And so God provided in amazing ways, and I got to go on that trip. I felt so well prepared on this mission trip by our leaders and all the meetings that we had. And they always made sure that we were praying for our trips and staying in God's word, which I truly believe is why I had such an amazing experience. God worked in such powerful ways on this trip, and now I'll be going back to Hungary in the fall to study in the Bible Institute for a year. And I don't think I would have made this decision if it wasn't for the opportunity to go last summer. In fact, I probably wouldn't even have finished applying if it wasn't for meeting the guidance counselor who emailed me a few months ago to ask if I was ever planning on applying. These mission trips impact lives before, during, and even after the trips themselves. God has been using them to draw so many students closer to himself and to share the good news to the nations, and I am so thankful that I got to be a part of it.
Our fourth student, like the three prior on stage, they've grown in leaps and bounds through the pulpit ministry here at Heritage, the teaching ministry, not only in the youth, but specifically also here up on Sunday mornings as Pastor Nathan, Pastor Jeff, various guest speakers teach, and even perhaps again in the DC classes. Zach Fields is a student that I'm sure would testify quite quickly of the profound impact that the teaching ministry of HBC has had on his life, but I'd rather you hear it from him first. Let me welcome to the stage Zach Fields.
Hello. Heritage Baptist Church, you have given me the great opportunity of hearing the gospel spoken through the teaching of Pastor Nathan Smith, Pastor Kent, and Pastor Nathan Fox. Each of these men have changed my life so much in my time at Heritage. Because of Pastor Kent and Pastor Nate, I felt a deeper calling in my life to be a youth pastor. Without them, I would not be who I am today. They've spurred me on to be a light amongst my peers. Pastor Kent once told me, "The great advantage to being a youth pastor is that you can teach the students the word of God while their hearts are still moldable." I wholeheartedly agree. Both Pastor Kent, Nate, and other youth leaders have molded my heart and made me want to gaze on the glory of Christ. I have made mistakes, as we all have, but I think I heard one of the greatest truths this morning from Pastor Nate. He's been talking about corrosion these past few weeks and in the life of Samson. And his main point this morning was corrosion can happen to any one of us at any time, but God, in his incredible amounts of grace, is not done with you. These are men who yearn for the students to know their Lord. Pastor Nathan Smith has given me the insight to God's word that I never dreamed I could have. He dives right into the word and says, hey, look at this. Don't just look at it. Listen to this. Now go, take it home. Study it for yourself. Go deeper. You can never imagine the new perspective you gain from going deeper. Because of Nathan Smith, I have a deeper sense of insight into God's word. I appreciate that so much, that when each person teaches in the main service, at an elective, or in youth group, and they have reading materials that they have used and loved dearly, they tell us, read this. It will challenge you. I'm not a big reader, but because of this, I have found myself reading more often. The teaching doesn't just lie in their words, it's in their actions. When I'm taught something at church, I see those teachings, it pushes themselves to practice what they preach. Do they always get it right? No. But because they push to live a Christ-honoring life, it pushes me to listen more intently, to know that these are not just words, but messages that can be lived out. Titus 2, 7 through 8 reads, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say again about us. Those who teach here are models of these good works. They teach with integrity, dignity, and sound speech. Their hearts are open to learning, and that pushes me and the rest of their congregation to want to have that open heart. Because of this teaching I know God's grace manifested, his love abounding, and a closeness I could never imagine. Heritage Baptist Church, do not take these teachings for granted. These men pour over the gospel so that they can teach in a way that is easy to understand, in a way that their hearts are open, and in a way that can be used by the Holy Spirit, and in a way to push us to get closer to God. The teaching does not just affect adults, but the youth as well. We, the youth, are listening.
And the last letter tonight comes from Lily Gordon. Lily, she's born outside this country and adopted by a family here. Yeah, you can go ahead and come on up. Adopted by a family here at Heritage Baptist Church. She has a unique perspective on the community here of this church and the role it has had in preparing her for her next steps in life. So speaking on the community of this church, please welcome Lily Gordon.
Hello, everybody. I am Lily Gordon, and never mind. It says that already. Okay, so as he said, I have grown up in this church, so I've been here since, in the nursery and gone through Grace Bible Camp and gone through youth ministry and done all the musicals and everything there. So I think that obviously the community here at Heritage is something pretty special to me. So when I think of the community at Heritage, I think of that word family. And I actually have three main points that I'm going to have. This is a three-point speech. So firstly, I think that family is about friendship. I don't know what families you come from, but in my family, I find that some of my closest friends are my siblings. That might be kind of weird, but whatever. And in the same way, so many of my friends, basically all of my friends, are from here at church. These are what I would say are lifelong friends that I can, laugh with, cry with, have deep conversations with, be stupid with, all that stuff. And I think that our church, our youth group, everything, encourages deep relationships through you know, having small groups, pairing you with people that are like your age and things like that. But I also think that they encourage fun in your relationships, because I think that's good too, through youth events like going to King's Dominion and that fight night thing that they did, and like after parties and things like that. And as Mason was saying, I think that the people are really like easy to get to know and things like that, and it's just a community of strong believers, people that it's big, so you can like find people that you can relate to, all those sort of things. And so my second point is that I think that this is a church that provides all kinds of encouragement and support through practical ways, through financial ways, and through spiritual support. It's kind of like, you know, in your family, if you come home and you have a bad day, maybe your mom will make you some soup or something and, like, pat you on the back. You know what I mean? Somebody you know you can fall back on, some support. And when I think of our church, I think of that. This last spring, my grandfather had an open heart surgery, and that was kind of a crazy time in our lives. We were just really busy and all that stuff. And so many of you all just came to our house and brought us meals, or went and sat with my mom at the hospital, or sent my grandfather all kinds of notes, or came to our house and prayed with him. And that sort of thing means a lot. It means a lot that we know we can have people that are supporting us and encouraging us through practical little things like that. I've also seen that this church's heart for support and encouragement through just your willingness to give financially. I've seen like those Easter offerings and Christmas offerings, and they set a goal for them, and every year it's always surpassed, and it's because you all give so generously. My third point is that I think that this family of believers provides spiritual accountability in a family. Well, in my family at least. When I was little, I would like, my mom would buy me those quiet times, you know, and we'd have Awana verses to learn, stuff like that. And it was always like, Lily, did you say your verses tonight? Or Lily, are you caught up on your quiet time? And in the same way that your family provides that spiritual accountability, I think that this church provides spiritual accountability for each one of us. We have like small groups, and so people your age, but also people older than you that kind of are like, hey, what are you doing? Stuff like that. And Word of Life also does this, youth group does this this thing called scholarship, where you kind of keep tabs on like Christian services and verses and things like that. And in that way, you are held spiritually accountable, even for you adults, those, what do they call them? DC communities? Yeah. And so that too. And I think that kind of accountability brings us to back to what really matters. You know what I mean? So in conclusion, I am so thankful for such a united body of believers who prioritize, well, real relationships, but also fun, and who so sacrificially give their support practically and financially and spiritually, and a church that holds us, me, and all of you, spiritually accountable. And so thank you, church, for touching my life more than you might know, and thank you for exhibiting to me what a true family of believers collectively serving and loving God looks like.
If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, I just want to take a few moments, kind of on the heels of hearing from the testimonies of the teens, and I'm sure you can see we have a variety of personalities among our youth ministry. As you're turning to Ephesians chapter 4, I've been asked a few times recently about what are my favorite things about being a youth pastor? What do I love about youth ministry? Is it, you know, a mission trip? Is it going on events, activities, things like King's Dominion? Quite honestly, if I were to be very honest with you, what I enjoy most about my job is what you actually just saw on stage. Teens singing about the glory of God, teens standing up and testifying about what God has done in their lives over the past 18 years or so, or talking about what God has done through you in their lives, that they have taken steps of spiritual maturity and have progressed in their relationship with Christ, that is what I get my greatest joy from in ministry. I want to spend a few moments tonight just walking through, well, it's a pretty familiar passage of Scripture. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. I just want to break down just a few verses from chapter 4, familiar verses, and just make a couple of anecdotal points about them that, again, I hope would be an encouragement and a challenge to you this evening. Starting in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 down to verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes this, that he being Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ Jesus. A couple of points that I want to make from this passage that I just read. If you look at verse 11, you see a list of positions. And we can have a conversation about what apostles are, prophets are in today's language and what that looks like today. But let me just give you the general point here that Paul is laying out, that Jesus has gifted his church leadership. And each of these positions, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the shepherd, the teacher, each of these positions are proclaimers of truth. They declare truth. They talk theology. They talk doctrine. They teach you how to live. They talk about what it looks like to apply said theology into your life. So let me just say this as a point, that church leadership, pastoral leadership, is a gift to the church. And I don't say that with a pat on my back. I just say that what Paul is saying here. That church leadership is a gift to the church, or perhaps it is in your experience that, well, some pastors are better than others, some do their role more effectively than others. Certainly no leader is perfect. You're not going to sit here and listen to me talk about how wonderful I think I am and how perfect I think I am. I think we all fall short, even in pastoral leadership, of perfection. I don't think that. I know that. But we see here that Paul lays out that church leadership is a gift to the church. But there's a reason for this. There's a purpose for the establishment of church leadership in the church. And you see that in verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. For building up the body. So pastoral leadership is really, well, it's equipping the saints. And who are the saints? You. You are the saints. You are the one here that Paul is writing to when he says to do the work of ministry. Pastors and church leadership, we are called to equip, to hand the tools off to the people, the saints. The congregation, you are to do the work of ministry. So let me just say this. If pastors don't teach you well, if we don't teach theology well, if we don't teach how to apply said theology well, then the church suffers because you don't know how to do the work of ministry. Likewise, if you think, well, the pastors do all the ministry, I can just sit back and consume said ministry, then the church suffers because you are not doing your heart. Church leadership is called to equip the saints to do the work of ministry, which means the saints, the people, are to do the ministry. Matt Chandler, a pastor down in Texas, said this recently, that God's plan is you, full of the Holy Spirit, being equipped, empowered, and released to do the work of ministry yourself. And you may ask, well, how long are we called to do the work of ministry? Well, Paul answers that in verse 13. It says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the question that I have in my mind as I look at verse 13 is, if Christ is the standard that we are aspiring to, if Christ is who we are trying to become like, when do we get there? When do we arrive? And the right answer to that question is not on this side of heaven. Which means this, that the work of ministry does not stop. That whether you're a youth growing up in our youth group and you're figuring out what it looks like for you to serve in ministry, to use your giftings and talents and abilities, or whether you are of an older generation and you are wondering what that looks like, you are all called, if you are a follower of Christ, to do the work of ministry. To mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And you may say, man, that's a lot of time. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Because spiritual maturation is not an overnight process. That's a lifelong process. That's a lifelong journey. So you are called to be in the work of ministry for all your life. To be involved with those around you all their lives. This is the work of ministry that we are called to. And when I think of spiritual maturation, I immediately jump to what I think is an illustration of physical maturation. Those of you know, well, I use my son quite often as an illustration now. He's a seven-month-old, and I know this about kids. I know this now watching him. Babies aren't born able to walk. Right? They don't just come out of the womb able to take steps. No, it's a process of maturation, and we applaud the milestones as they take their next step to their next step to their next step, and finally they're standing up and they're supporting themselves on a coffee table or something around them, and they begin to take a step. And perhaps in that first step, undoubtedly in that first step, they fall down. They don't complete the step. But you, as a parent, I'm sure, or at least I'm hopeful, you don't sit there and belittle your child for not being able to complete that step. No, what do? You applaud. You cheer on. You encourage. When they fall down, what do? You pick them up. You're right there as a helper. And when they finally complete those steps, when they finally move from one milestone to the next, are you not there rejoicing along the way? Church, that is how I see ministry. That is how I see the work of ministry. That you are called to do the work of ministry as people who are perhaps a little bit younger in the faith. And young does not mean age, just so we are aware. Young is spiritual maturation. That people who are younger in the faith, that you are called to work with them, called to work alongside of them, encourage them in their walk with the Lord, that they may, as a result of your faithful endeavor into their life, be more like Christ as a result. And Paul says, so in verse 14, that we're not like children, tossed to and fro by waves, by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Church, I do not have to persuade you on this truth, that there are a lot of lies in the world. There are a lot of deceitful teachings in our world right now. There are a lot of things that are pulling and tugging at the heartstrings of our young people, our children, our teens, perhaps even some of you. So when you pour into a teen, a child, you need to know this, that you are establishing in their life a model of what it looks like to be founded on Christ himself. And that's what they need. And you may ask, well, I'm not really very good with teens or children. I don't really know what to say. Can I just say this to you in very honest terms? Teens, I don't believe, are looking for the most relevant or the most hip person in their life. I believe with all my heart that teens are looking for real, authentic people. People who are built on something steadfast. People who are anchored in truth. So let me encourage you with this. So that our teens see godly men and women around them, I would encourage you. Consider the possibility of stepping back into their lives. to the life of a child, the life of a teen. They need godly, mature men and women who are influencers, who stand alongside them, do the work of ministry around them. Our teens need to see that. They need to see that from their pastoral leadership. They need to see that from those adults around them. And more than that, I'm sure their parents would appreciate that influence in their life as well. So that, in speaking the truth in love, we grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Why do we do the work of ministry? That Christ gets the glory and that we look a whole lot more like Him as a result. If you would pray with me, and then we've got one last thing, and we'll conclude the service tonight. Let's pray. God, every testimony, every letter written tonight, while it would be easy for us to pat ourselves on the back and think about how wonderful we are as a church, and as a part of this church, indeed, I find it very easy to talk about how wonderful Heritage Baptist Church is, I am also reminded that were it not for the grace of God, were it not for the work of Christ, were it not for your pursuing of us, God, we would have nothing to pat ourselves on the back for. God, teach us how to be humble as a church. Teach us how to pour back into each other. Teach us how to have a community life that is vibrant, that is built on Christ Himself. Teach us how to invest in those around us, both in these walls and outside these walls. Teach us what it looks like to look more like Jesus in our own individual walks, so that we encourage people to model our lives, to look at our lives. We're actually encouraging them to model Christ Himself. As Paul would describe it, to imitate me as I imitate Christ. God, teach us how to be anchored in truth. Teach us to know what truth is from your word, from the teachings in the pulpits, in the classrooms. God, thank you. God, thank you for the men and women who have so faithfully poured into the lives, labored into the lives of children's ministry, teen ministry. God, we could not do what we do were it not for you moving in the hearts of those men and women who step alongside these teens and parents and say, I will do whatever I can to point you to Jesus. God, we love you. We thank you for all of these things and ask all of these things in your name. Amen. Before I conclude tonight, I got one last little short-term mission trip presentation for you, if you would. If you're on the stateside team, the local mission trip happening this week, if you would go ahead and make your way on up here, the Romania team as well. Go ahead and make your way on up here, stand in front of the stage here in front of these stairs. Stateside team probably on this side, Romania team on this side. We were asked to present our short-term mission trips for our youth group. You can stand on the stairs, beneath the stairs, that's fine. These are most of our teens and leaders doing mission trips this summer. On my left, your right, we have the stateside team who this summer, this week, have the unique opportunity to go to various organizations in the Lynchburg area and the surrounding communities. Organizations like Family Life Services, Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center, Sports Outreach, Heritage Green, going to those kinds of places and doing a variety of projects, service projects, painting, gardening, visitation, all for hopefully the encouragement of those organizations, many of whom have the same goal of gospel ministry as we do at Heritage Baptist Church. And on the right, my right, your left, is the Romania team. The Romania team going to places in Romania like Sibiu and Timișoara and doing camp ministry and gospel proclamation to the surrounding villages, serving in the local churches in the Sibiu area with local pastors and missionaries, doing some Sunday morning services in the churches, going around to the villages, doing camp ministry, all kinds of things for 2 weeks in the last 2 weeks of July in Romania. So these are our mission teams this summer for youth at Heritage Baptist Church. To my left, the local team. To my right, the Romania team. And what I want to do is I actually want to pray over these teens, over this team of students collectively here with us tonight. So if you would go ahead and stand with me, and I will pray. And then at the conclusion of the prayer, you are dismissed. And you can come talk to the teens, obviously, if you would like to do so. So let me pray for these teens, for these teams, and then we will be done for the evening. All right, let's pray. God, it is an encouragement, and not something I planned on hearing, but an encouragement to hear from the graves of a team that came to Romania 8-9 years ago. And the profound impact that that had on the people of Romania, that the people there were able to capitalize on what they saw and heard from our very own church here at Heritage, and that ministry has happened over the past decade as a result of faithfulness then. So I'm encouraged by the fact that this has almost come full circle tonight, and that we have a group of teens going back to Romania, doing camp ministry, working with the people of Romania, serving alongside them, proclaiming the gospel to them. And I'm praying that the same amounts of fruit that happened 9 years ago would happen again, perhaps even more, God, if you would will to do so. I'm also praying, too, for our local team. A group of teens who are desiring to give up a week this week to go around to places in Lynchburg and to just serve, just to be a part of what you're doing in this community at places where people come into these organizations and they need help. God, and if we can just be an encouragement to the workers and the volunteers there, then that would be just a fantastic result. God, in all that we do as a youth department this summer and all the mission trips that we take, may the name of Jesus be most exalted, most magnified, most glorified, for it is truly at that name that change happens. I pray that we would honor Christ with our words, with our actions, with our thoughts. As a church body, that we would be encouraged by all that we heard and saw tonight, encouraged to do the work of ministry even more so, perhaps more so than we are doing right now. God, thank you for your church. Thank you for the way that you've gifted your church. Thank you for this church and the many blessings that we have as a result of being a part of this body. We ask all of these things tonight in your name. Amen. Thank you guys for coming tonight. You are dismissed.